When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Your morning starts now. It's the Q102 Jeff and Jen podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport/fly healthy.
All right, 740. Jeff and Jen, Cincinnati's Q102. Some kind of technical glitch wiped out a major city completely from Instagram and Facebook. Wait till you hear this story. Also, five things in your house you can sell for parts. It is Tuesday, the 23rd of April, 2024. We're Jeff and Jen, and here it is, your news that didn't make the news on Cincinnati's Q102. Before we get to those stories, let's start with your vacation. One-fifth of us think about our next vacation while we're on vacation.
Absolutely. You got to set the next thing up in the calendar so you have something to look forward to.
You start booking it right
away.
Where
are we going next?
Dude, you know what they do, Jeff? A lot of places, if you go to, and I specifically remember this about when we went on that little 2-3 night Disney cruise or whatever, they make it known that if you book your next cruise while you're on the current one, it is like drastically cheaper.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like 20% cheaper.
Oh, wow.
I mean, something like that.
That's brilliant.
I know. That's what I said the same thing. And I've heard resorts, I think, I've never done it, but I've heard resorts do that also. If you book direct while you're on the current one, they give you like a big discount.
That's smart. That's a good plan. I mean, I know a lot of people think about their next vacation while they're burned out at work, but there's a segment of the population out there that they're enjoying their vacation and they're thinking about their next vacation. 20% of Americans say they always are thinking about their next vacation, even while on vacation, maybe not actively planning it. But who's not on vacation thinking, man, I need to do more of this?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I like this place, but I think I'm looking for something more like that.
Or what if your parents, you're like, and you're on vacation with your children, and you look over at your partner and you go, next time, just us.
Yeah. This would be great if we didn't have the kids with us. Yeah, the average person spent 11 days on vacation last year.
Not enough.
Nowhere near enough. They're hoping to spend 15 days on vacation this year. That little boost would be a good thing because 86% of people consider vacations to be a form of self-care. Yes, absolutely. About 80% of people would be interested in a do-nothing vacation.
Yes.
Where
80%? Wow.
I got to give Kristen some crap here, okay? When we first met, I'm going to toot my horn here for a second.
Yeah, do it.
I wanted nothing to do with hanging out at the beach. Nothing seemed more boring to me. I'm not really a beach guy.
I remember that about you. You were like, what do you mean? You guys just go and lay around
all
day?
You just sit there?
No way. I'm like, yeah, we drink and hang out and play cards.
Like, I'm good for that for a while, but come on, man. Let's go out and do something. Let's go see the sights. Let's go for a hike or let's go to the chocolate factory. You know, that kind of stuff. And I am still kind of like that. But I have so come around on that front. We go to more tropical places now than ever.
She's like, Jeff, trust me, you're going to love it. But you know what I think that comes from, Jeff, is you guys also have doing vacations.
Yeah, we do them both. We try to balance it out.
Yeah, because when you went to, where was it that you went, Europe last year? Was that the last year or the year before?
That was last year. We went to the Netherlands,
yes.
Norway, and Denmark.
Those are all do vacations where you're seeing stuff, hiking,
kayaking.
Yeah. You were a part of the city scene, riding bikes everywhere.
Yeah, I like that.
So now that you went to Grenada and you hung out there for, you know, you did some adventuring, but you did a little lounging.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, this resort, like, there's plenty of options. You know, you can explore the island. They have all these recommendations and places, and they'll set you up on a tour if you want, and they'll set up your transportation. I mean, you can do it any way you want to do. You can make it as active or as sedentary as you like. But there were a couple of days where we were like, okay, we're just going to hang, right? Like, today we're just going to stay on property. We're not going to go anywhere. Yep. And so we'd be at breakfast. She'd be like, all right, so what are you going to do today? I thought, nothing. I thought we agreed we weren't doing anything. Yeah. Oh, well, okay. I'm just saying, like, after breakfast. Yeah, nothing. So what? You're just going to lay out? Yes.
You're going to lay out? You don't lay out.
No, but, like, they got the umbrellas.
So you're just going to lay there and read?
Yeah, we're going to go hang out by
the
poolside.
Is that her way of, like, trying to ditch you so she can have her own alone time?
Well, that's okay. We can do that if you want some time. But all she was doing was reading her book. And so we'd hang out. And I'd be like, all right, I'm hot. Like, I'm
sweating.
So did you get in the pool and then get back out? That's what you do.
Are you good? Yeah.
You cool off and then you get back in the chair.
Well, our plunge pool. So the plunge pool back of the room had a little shade.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I'm I'm going back to the room. Why? What are you going to do? Why do you care? Enjoy your book.
I just want
to know. This is our do nothing day.
Yeah. Do you do?
I'm on Friend Finder if you need to find me.
Do you do that? So basically, what we do is, our do-nothing day is wake up, breakfast, then Penelope and I go down to the beach and build castles or hang out there. Then we come up and get in the pool.
Yeah.
And then we go back to the beach.
That sounds great.
And then we eat lunch.
Yeah.
Like, we have all the meals and all the snacks.
So she'd be like, well, okay. So wait, you're just going to go back to the room?
Yeah.
For a little while. I might hit the plunge pool. I want to walk around the property, maybe take some pictures. You know?
See, that's Scott's kind of like that too, where I am like, I don't want to be in this room anymore. I'm done being in, I want to see what's happening out here, even if I'm just sitting.
Go for it.
Yeah.
But I just sat out here with you for 2 hours and it was lovely. And
do you guys have entertainment at that place? Like, do they come around and play bingo?
Hell no.
Mariachi band walk around and say, do you want love song or happy song?
No, but because it was like the first week they were opening, like, everybody is trying really, really hard, which is awesome. But the guest experience makers would come over and they'd be like, okay, so Mr. and Mrs. Thomas, looks like we don't have anything on the books for you today. Yesterday you did the rum tour. How was that? That was fantastic. And you went to the old airport and yeah, that was great. And saw the waterfalls. Yep. Well, we have a number of options today. No, we're good. Really, because we have this, that, and the other thing. It almost felt like they were trying to upsell me. Like, we're just hanging today.
Yeah.
You know, maybe tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Uno. Who wants to play Uno?
Coco Bongo.
Yeah.
I don't think you were here for it, Jeff, but when we went to Mexico for spring break, my daughter loved the foam party. They had a foam party.
And this is a family resort,
right?
At
the kids' pool, yeah.
Oh, okay.
This was at the kids' pool.
I wasn't sure what kind of foam party we were talking about.
I sent pictures to Tim because you know how much he loves a good foam party. I was like, the only thing's missing is you, babe. But, dude, when she gets older, I was like, this is where the raging began for her. She was in her little, like, circle donut floaty, just like they're playing all the music, you know, like gasolina, and everybody's like,
oh yeah.
And she is just fist pumping and foaming, and it was wonderful.
That's awesome.
She loved it.
Well, Kristen reluctantly let me go
Mm-hmm. Back to the
wandered
room.
Around. Yeah. I just thought it was interesting that she was so like, well, what do you mean? Like, what are you going to like worried about what I was, how I was going to spend my time. And she later admitted to me, she's like, I can't get a read on you. Like, are you having a good time? I was having a blast.
Yeah.
Because again, it was again, like on a day-to-day basis, you could make it, you could be as active or as relaxed as you wanted to be. And that was the beauty of it. And I don't know, maybe I was just like too relaxed for it. She wasn't used to seeing. She missed the old Jeff. Like, come on, what are we doing? What's next?
Yeah, but that's probably why she thought maybe you weren't having a good time.
I think so.
Because she's like, oh my gosh, he's not doing anything. And he always does something. This is not normal Jeff.
Right.
Typical.
But she likes bacon in the sun, though. That's the other thing. Like, she wears a lot of sunscreen. But she likes that heat. And I do to a point, and then I'm like, all right, I need some AC. And so they got these little places you can sneak into. They got like a little ice cream bar. You could get refreshments. They even have a reading room, like a library.
Well, that's nice.
You know, if you just want to dive in to something, books, periodicals, that kind of thing. But 80% of people are mostly interested in do-nothing vacations where they do just that. They sit by the pool or the beach. Even inside, you know, just cooling off, reading a book or relaxing. You want to meet up for lunch at 2:30? That sounds good. But the nice thing about going somewhere else is that it's easier to separate yourself from your usual chores and obligations, even if you're not actually going into the office. I found myself not just sleep. I mean, obviously, when I'm on vacation, I sleep great because I'm getting those 7 or 8 hours pretty consistently.
Mm-hmm.
But there's sort of like an after effect, too, that carries through. Like when I get back, there's a period of time where even though I'm back at work, even though I've gone through so-called reentry, I'm still sleeping better.
You feel rested?
Yeah, there's like it's almost like an afterglow with a vacation that carries for a while before the stresses mm-hmm. of your day to day start to pile up. And then you're waking up in the middle of the night or you have to go to the bathroom and then you can't get back to sleep because your brain just won't.
Yeah. Your brain knows that you got to get up in 35 minutes. So you're like, oh,
that, or you're going over the agenda for the day. And I go, oh God, I got to do that. And I got this mm-hmm. thing looming over my head. I forgot to do.
Yep.
Fill in the blank. So that's why at least a fifth of us think about our next vacation while on vacation.
I'm thinking about my next vacation probably 5 times a day.
But you have an exciting next vacation coming up. Aren't you going abroad?
I'm going to Spain, to Barcelona for my friend Anna's 40th birthday. Yep, she's 5 years ago. She said, hey, in 5 years, you think it might be cool that we all go to Spain for my birthday? And we're like, yeah, talk to us in 4 years.
And now you're here.
So last year she said, hey, is anyone still wanting to do this?
That's great.
I still want to do it. And we're like, yeah. So she rented this villa in Barcelona, set up some activities.
I love it.
And we just had to get ourselves there. So about half of it will be the activities and half of it will be on our own to kind of just do our own
thing.
How
long do you go for?
A week.
Just
a week.
Nice.
Yeah, 8 days.
Plus it gives you time to save up. Like when you have that kind of situation and you know that it's coming in 2 years or whatever, you got time to like really save up.
We planned for it.
We witnessed an interesting dynamic in Grenada. These two couples, they were young Americans, probably in their early, like really early 20s that were down there and they were vacationing together, and it was interesting just watching the whole, like they couldn't, they didn't know how to just separate and hang. Like they had to do everything together, and we could overhear them kind of squabbling over doing this or doing that or going for that hike or going into town or eating on property or not on property. And, you know, guys, like whatever, like you can do whatever you want, but I just think like we need to do this and we're going to do that. Well, no, I mean, I guess we could do that, but then we're going to just the constant, hey, how about you do your thing and we'll do our thing and we'll meet up tonight for dinner.
Maybe that's not an option if they aren't comfortable. It was
just, I don't know. Maybe that's just something like as you get older and you travel with other people, you're more like, yeah, whatever.
Do your own thing. I'll see you at dinner.
Well, we don't have to do everything together. We can do some things mm-hmm. together.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have a big dinner tomorrow night.
Exactly. You got to have something to talk about with these people.
Right. Have you ever noticed the dusty stuff on packaged shredded cheese?
Yes.
It always seems to be there, whether you see it or not. And I used to think that it was because it had dried out.
Or if it was like mm-hmm. some kind of mold.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what it was. I would look at it, not realizing that dusty stuff is an anti-caking agent, which keeps the shreds from sticking and lumping together. I thought it was just old.
Mm-hmm. I've heard.
Or had dried out.
I've heard that before, and that there's something they put on like that type of shredded cheese to make it last longer. So there's like that unclumping stuff and then some preservative. So I've been shredding my own cheese the last, I don't know, couple months. If the recipe calls for Parmesan, I have a brick of it and I go shred a cup, you know.
People say it tastes better though.
It does.
Too,
I think that's the
yourself.
Best way.
I will agree. Yeah.
But if you don't want to deal with the shredding and it's just easier for you to buy it shredded. Like if you're doing Mexican that night, different companies use different methods. Kraft uses cornstarch as their anti-caking agent. Tillamook uses potato starch. Sargento uses powdered cellulose, which is basically refined wood pulp. Lucerne uses both tapioca and potato starch. And other anti-caking agents can include calcium sulfate, which is a component in cement.
Ooh.
Nice.
Gross.
It sounds questionable, but they're all supposedly food safe in small amounts. Still, not everyone is excited about ingesting these substances raw. So there is a new social media trend of people washing their shredded cheese before use. Here's a woman on TikTok doing that very thing.
We're going to wash the shredded cheese. It's supposed to make it taste better.
Washing something off of there.
Huh? It is cloudy coming off of there.
Yeah.
Look. This lady. At the difference.
You can see the difference. Look at that.
Now you can actually feel all that stuff on this cheese.
Now you're thinking about it, you feel it.
It feels so much cleaner.
Like cleaner?
It's more smoother than this cheese right here.
Yeah, to give you a sense of the visual here, she dumps the cheese into a colander, rinses it with water, and then dries it on a paper towel. The water that strains out is cloudy and sometimes discolored, which adds theatrics to these videos on TikTok. And it's ridiculous all around. Rinsing cheese is messy, and you have to measure it out first because you shouldn't return the cleaned cheese to the fridge.
Yeah.
And even if it's dried, it can develop mold faster because you've washed off the mold inhibitors that are also added.
Also,
you know they add mold inhibitors?
I would like to add, if you're going to, the point of buying pre-shredded cheese is for convenience.
Yes.
If you're going to spend a half hour washing it and drying it,
it negates the purpose.
What the hell?
Right.
Could have just
own.
Bought a brick of it and shredded it yourself in 2 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. Totally.
So as far as the convenience, if you really need the convenience and you buy the shredded cheese, you're not going to drop dead from the stuff that's included in shredded cheese. But if it seems unappetizing, there is another option, and that is shredding your own cheese a la Tim Timmerman. It's less convenient, but so is washing shredded cheese. And it will probably have more flavor, and it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, I just started doing it like about a month or two ago, and I will say it is a better taste when you put it in pasta. It's creamier.
It feels like it melts better, too, don't you feel? Like
yes,
when you put
100%.
It like on top of the like Skyline dip or whatever, it just feels like it gets meltier.
Always feel confident on your second date. With help from the Plastic Surgery Group, schedule a consultation at 513-791-4440 or at theplasticsurgerygroup.com.
Surgery has an art. Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S., the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Hey, Pam, how you doing?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you?
Pretty good. You have a good weekend?
Yeah, I did. It was a little chilly for me, but, you know.
Yeah, I had the same thought. Yeah. But I was okay with staying in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Watch the Reds game.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, people were bundled up.
Yeah, it was cold down there.
Well, warming up today, 68.
I know.
A little rain tonight.
Hopefully not too much. The grass is finally, you know.
Calmed.
Calming down a little bit. Yeah.
Getting dried out. You know, tonight at the Reds game, Jeff, they're doing the it's 3-2-1 Tuesday where you get $3 beers, $2 hot dogs, and $1 ice cream cups.
Let's go.
Is there a greater thing in the world?
Ice cream cups. Give me the wooden spoon.
Yes.
The little paddle.
Just give me a ticket.
Yeah, I'll take the ticket. Let's try to get you $1,000. Then you can buy all the Reds tickets you want with that. How about that?
Okay. Okay, give me a good letter.
I'm going to open up this envelope, see what your letter is. You'll have 30 seconds to answer 10 questions that begin with the letter J.
J.
J. J. Jump. Jiggle.
Ooh, after a rolling start here, Pam.
Keep them in mind. You might need them. Now, you also, in addition to the J, you'll notice, Tim, that this has a little something
on
here.
What's it say?
It says one free pass.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
You only have to get 9 things.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
So, Pam, okay. If you can answer 9 questions in 30 seconds that begin with the letter J, you will win $1,000. Now, you can't use the same answer more than once. And the key to winning, we think, is to pass as quickly as possible. With that in mind, we just shooting it straight down the middle, Tim, or you got some special theme?
Nope, just generic. The old standard.
So we got 30 seconds on the clock, and I will not start the timer until Tim finishes asking the first question.
All right, Pam, letter J. Only need 9. Here we go. Tell me something you would buy at Kroger.
Jam.
A dog breed.
Pass.
A disease.
Jungle rot.
A career.
Jingle master.
A dessert.
Pass.
A Disney character.
Jasmine.
Or Jafar.
A dessert. Jello.
Jelly donut. Jello. You could have done. A dog
jelly,
breed.
Jelly.
Jack Russell.
Jello pudding.
Pudding pots.
That's harder than I thought it was going to be.
Okay. That was way hard.
I got to tell you, Jingle Master was really funny because there are people in this industry who actually do that for a living. Case in point.
The Q Morning Zoo. Q102.
Yeah.
The Jingle Master.
There are companies that produce those.
Jello wrestling. Yep.
Jello wrestling.
Yeah. Man, I was right there with you, Pam. I was struggling. Maybe it's the Tuesday Scaries or something.
I'm still on Jungle Rot. That was good.
No one
I'm
wants
sure
that.
It's probably a disease.
Yeah. He's got the Jungle Rot.
Yeah. You've been out there too long. Time to change your shoes.
Don't click on images is all I have to say. That sounds gross.
Jungle Rot.
I Googled it. It's a band. They look like they're into some screamy rock metal.
That's an awesome band name.
Yeah.
Jungle Rot.
Jungle Rot.
Yo, what's up? Oh. We're Jungle Rot. And
so what is the disease
could
you think of that starts with J?
Jaundice.
Jaundice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was thinking about jaundice. There's probably going to be something else.
Yeah. That's hard.
Well,
that's hard.
We do it every day at 8:20.
And I try to get in every day at 8:20.
Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow.
We'll see you then.
Thanks for the extra pass, and you guys have a great day.
You
try
too,
to
Pam.
The ball game tonight.
You too, Pam.
Yeah, you got it.
See ya.
Oh, there she goes.
There's also like a businessman special coming up, Jeff.
Yeah, we lost to Philly last night, and so we're due a win today.
Due a win.
Let's do it.
So there's an old bit on Saturday Night Live, an old SNL character named Matt Foley, who was played by the late Chris Farley, God rest his soul. And he would deliver this classic line during the bit about living in a van down by the river.
Living in a van down by the river.
And it was very funny. He was like a school counselor almost, you know, who would try to scare people straight.
Yeah. He always had on a small jacket.
Plaid jacket, yeah.
Yeah. And his arms were always in the air because he couldn't get the jacket all the way down with the arms.
Yeah. Well, anyway, in light of that bit, a full third, 33.33333% of Americans say they actually wouldn't mind living in a van down by the river.
Living in a van down by the river.
You know, that actually sounds okay. 30,000 people were asked the question, would you ever consider van life?
No. Would you guys?
They define it as a lifestyle that involves living and traveling in a converted van.
Okay, I have talked to Chris. This is something I would like to do. I would like to rent one of those pimped Mercedes-Benz Sprinter vans, right?
So it's
sort of like a mini camper, but it's really just a van, and I want to take it for an undisclosed amount of time, just wherever the wind takes us. For a handful of months and then come on back. And we can stay at an Airbnb, we could camp, we could do a variety of things with the van.
Yeah, see my partner Scott is big into the, I don't even know what is that, it's like off-roading. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's called a side-by-side that we have. We have like one of those Polaris things or whatever.
Okay.
And so I usually go with him once, sometimes twice a year. And we always have to stay in a cabin, but because he goes often, we've been kind of discussing not necessarily getting an RV, but getting something like you're talking about, Tim, that you can stay in, that has a bucket toilet and mm-hmm. is manageable. But I got to be able to drive it.
Yeah, I came across this woman on Facebook. You know how Instagram, you know how Instagram like will suggest someone to follow? And it was this woman who she quit her job. She had like some fancy tech job. She's making all this money and decided she was tired of the rat race. So she gave it all up and she bought this like small RV. It was kind of like an RV. It's bigger than like a converted van, but but it's not like a super giant RV either. You know, it's kind of in the middle. And she just goes to, you know, campsites and national parks and kind of lives her life. And it seemed like a really cool idea, you know, for someone who just wants to maybe take some time off, figure out what they want to be when they grow up. And
what about
tempted to follow her, but I guess the way she makes her living, the way she helps sustain herself is she does all these, you know, she pitches all this stuff. And
oh.
That's when I was out.
I was going to ask you, like, what about working abroad like that? People that are remotely like that.
Yeah, but I feel like they've, you know, whatever they do allows them the freedom and flexibility to go somewhere. So what they do is they'll apply for a digital nomad visa. They call it a digital nomad visa where you apply as, you know, somebody who you already have a job. So you have proven a paycheck that you're bringing in every other week or so. And so they know you have an income and you're not going to be a drain on the system. And so with that, they, you know, run the necessary background checks. You fill it out, you apply for the visa, and they allow you to stay. You probably got to renew it every year before they send you packing. And it might even come with some other tax incentives. But yeah, 36% of Americans, when they were asked, would you ever consider van life, a lifestyle that involves living and traveling in a converted van, 36% of Americans said absolutely, including 13% who are actively trying to figure out how to do it.
I don't know.
Now, 52% said no. And 9% aren't sure. You know, they're kind of on the fence. They're like, I don't know. Could I do that? Is that something that's feasible?
See, I think like at least every third week, I would want to stay at a Marriott or a hotel or have a little bit more space to sleep, shower. Agreed. You know, I mean, the showering.
So full-time van life may not be for you.
No, it's not.
See, for me, I want to do this trip because I have learned that time restraints really bring me stress. And so I want to be able to drive where the wind takes me, stay as long as I want to stay. Maybe it's one day, maybe it's 2 weeks, and then go to the next spot without that feeling of, well, I don't want to go that far because, you know, we only have 2 days, then we got to turn around. Mm-hmm. Like, that brings me stress. I just want to, like, allow myself 2 months for this trip and then just go.
As you wish.
Yeah, but I'm with Fritch. A couple days in the van, a couple days in an Airbnb, a couple days in a hotel. Yeah.
Like, I want to pull that van into a parking spot, get out, and go into a bigger room.
Yep.
Yeah, there's this couple. They're a little older. So I guess they're retired, but they sold their house in Seattle. Like, they raised their kids. They were empty nesters. You know, he was retiring. She was a little younger. She wasn't quite ready to retire, but they decided after they sold their house and their cars and a lot of their worldly possessions, they would have enough money to kind of do this. And so that's what they started doing is they travel around the world. They pack real light. You know, they carry the backpacks. They never check luggage. They're always looking for cheap flights. And, you know, they try to set like a nightly budget so that whatever Airbnb or place they're staying at isn't more than $100 a night. And between that and their savings and the money they made from selling all of their stuff, plus, you know, there's also the YouTube videos that they make and the ads and stuff, the ad revenue they get from that that helps sustain them and allows them to be able to do that. The interesting thing is almost half of people under the age of 30 love the idea of living in a van down by a river. Oh, check this out. Michelle says, OMG, you need to follow my friend Mia Travels, M-I-A, Maya or Mia. Maya. I'm going with Mia. Mia Travels. She's done this for years. Sold her house, quit her job like 2 or 3 years ago, and travels the world and bartends to make ends meet.
Oh, wow.
Her page on Facebook is amazing.
What's her name?
Mia, M-I-A.
Pull it up.
Mia Travels, I guess.
It kind of sounds like Natalie Jones. Didn't she used to do something similar like that? I feel
purposefully, but yes.
Yeah, Natalie, she bartended and she did stand-up, right?
Stand-up. She worked at a bar.
Worked part-time at a radio station, like a college station or something.
She lived on an island off the coast of North Carolina that only serviced ships that were fishing and worked at the bar there.
Sweet.
She babysat for rich people in Aspen. She's just done a lot of weird
odds and ends.
She's our
own little man.
She's like a gig worker, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hustling.
See, there's something to be said about that kind of life because I would enjoy the non-routine part of it.
Yeah.
But I would not enjoy not knowing how I'm going to make my next paycheck.
Lack of security.
Yes. That would freak me out. But to be, you know, younger, you know, 30 and under or whatever, and just be like, hey, let's do it.
Right.
That sounds like a blast.
I don't know about you, but a lot of people pay for the clear feature that you see. They got it at CVG and they got them at airports around the country that allow you to basically skip the line at airports. And the way it works is, you know, you submit to biometric scans, fingerprint checks and the whole thing. And in most cases, you know, you've already got the TSA
pre-check. So what's the difference between TSA pre-check and clear?
I don't need to show, like, they don't need to scan my boarding pass, and I don't need to take out my ID again.
We have clear. Literally, you go to the clear booth, and they walk you to the very front of the line and go, here you go, Mr. Thomas. Go have a nice trip.
But that is after they do an iris scan.
Yes, they scan your eyes.
To verify that it is, in fact, you, which saves the TSA officer the step of having to look at your ID and look at your boarding pass and then look at you and make sure it's the same guy and then wave you through. So it's even faster than TSA pre-check. It's actually, I've noticed lately, it's been not as fast because more and more people are buying it. Mm-hmm. But there are two state senators in the state of California who just introduced a bill to ban CLEAR from the airports in that state because their argument is it's basically just letting wealthier people pay to cut the line. When you sign up, CLEAR records all of your biomarkers. So again, that's fingerprints, eye scans, your facial features, and it's like $189 a year.
Yeah, so you really have to fly, I mean, I feel like pretty often if it's going to be worth your time for that.
Yes, and you have to be willing to submit. You know, a lot of people, I know Jen feels really uncomfortable sharing that stuff. So it's not for everybody. But a rep for the company escorts you directly to the X-ray machine. And it just saves a ton of time, especially if you're pressed for time.
Yeah, if you're running, if you're a business guy and you're always running late, you definitely should have CLEAR.
Right.
If you're traveling a lot.
Well, this proposed bill in California would get rid of that. Or third-party vendors like CLEAR would have to pay more for their own dedicated security line at airports in California.
I'm sure they'll be willing to do that as well, don't you think?
Maybe. One of the politicians behind it seems to be a bipartisan effort in California because one of the politicians behind it is a Democrat and the other is a Republican. And they both say no one at the airport should have to suffer the, quote, indignity of somebody pushing you out of the way to let a rich person pass you. Okay. California would be the first state to ban it. However, it will probably be an uphill battle for these senators because industry groups are lining up against the proposed bill. They are calling it government overreach. Delta, United, and the other major airlines are also fighting the bill because they have partnerships with CLEAR. They claim they might even have to raise ticket prices if it happens. Oh, and there's also TSA PreCheck, which is similar. That only costs $80, and that's good for 5 years. And then there's the Delta thing that we talked about yesterday, the thing they have at JFK, LAX, and Atlanta now, that they're beta testing now, that's kind of like CLEAR.
It's like the scan.
Yeah, but it's free.
Yeah. They're just like, come on through.
And it's so fast.
Do you feel
but you have to have had TSA pre-check first.
That's what I was going to say. Do you feel like, is there something they could do that would be blanket for all of this, like TSA pre-check, CLEAR, global entry? I feel like maybe they should just do one blanket thing, charge one blanket price, and if you want to be a part of it, you get to be a part of
it. Yeah, this is what I feel may ultimately happen is, you know, the TSA pre-check is sort of your base for the $80 a year, and then eventually there may not be a need for CLEAR.
Because it'll go away with the new Delta kind of thing?
That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone, can you opt out of that, though, if you don't want to do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, I mean, for people like Jen that are like, I don't want my iris scanned.
I had opted into it. I didn't even know about it. It was our stepson is the one who told us about it as we were getting ready to leave for Atlanta Airport. He goes, well, you know, make sure you do the digital ID. And we're like, what? The what? You mean CLEAR? No, this is even better. What?
I've already had my iris scanned when I did my other thing.
He goes, you both have TSA PreCheck, right? We're like, yeah. He goes, yeah, it's just follow the signs. When you check in at the Delta counter in Atlanta, just go to where it says digital ID. You got to make sure it's enabled on your app. And we checked our app and it wasn't. So we enabled it. And sure enough, we just sailed on through. No line, no waiting. We just went right to the X-ray machine.
And you don't have to have your actual ID.
Nope.
Right?
No.
You never take out your driver's license or your passport?
I don't think I ever took it out. Yeah. Digital ID 846. Got to take a quick break.
Thanks for listening to the Q102 Jeff and Jen Morning Show Podcast, brought to you by CVG Airport. Fly healthy through CVG. For more information, go to CVG Airport / fly healthy.